The Rebrand Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com. Welcome to the Rebrand Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. This podcast tells the stories of world-changing marketing campaigns as told by the people who build them. Ready to hear untold stories behind the brands you love? Then sit back, relax, and get ready for the rebrand. Here's the host of the Rebrand Podcast, the CEO of the Harkey Group, Scott Harkey.
All right, you know what time it is, Rebrand Podcast on its way. As you know, we tell untold stories of world-changing brand campaigns as told by the marketers who built them. I'm your host and founder of the Harkey Group, Scott Harkey. Joining us is Shayna Macklin, who's fractional CMO at Rainbow Shops, which is a heritage fast fashion company. Yesterday, Shayna and I talked about creative fashion brand partnerships. And today we're going to talk about the intersection of fashion, social media, and brand marketing. This is a brand marketing show. And social media is probably the biggest channel of opportunity, frustration, future-proofing like our brand and our business. So I think this is going to be a great topic. Here's my conversation with Shayna Macklin. She's fractional CMO and brand strategy and working a lot with Rainbow Shops. So let's bring her back on. How you doing?
Hello, hello. How are you?
So good. We talked all over the place, you know, way over, you know, my time limit as usual. Yesterday, I thought we really honed in on a lot of content creator partnership opportunities. But let's talk a little bit more about the intersection of brand marketing and social media. Brand marketing is just such a big topic at times, one of my favorite topics, and it's very subjective, which also makes it fun and controversial and all that good stuff. So talk to us about what you feel like. How are we at the intersection of social media and brand marketing?
This is such a big question. I'm like, how should I even tackle it?
I don't know where to start either. I was just like, all right, we'll just throw it out there and see where this goes.
I mean, brand marketing now equals social media, online and offline. And I think what we've seen is as social media, as we were talking about in our episode yesterday, just continues to shift and evolve, and how people are consuming social media is also shifting and evolving. And what consumers expect from brands, what they expect from influencers, what they expect from creators, I think I'm starting to see brands really rely on consumer data in terms of social listening to help redefine brand strategy. I am seeing a lot of brands ask their consumers directly, what do you want to see from us? How can we make your brand experience better? And honestly, I really find that transparency so refreshing. You know, for such a long time, like the old school method of branding was, we're going to push our brand in your face. And people were just like, take it, right? But now with social media, the consumer has a voice. They will tell you if they are upset with your brand. They will tell you if they did not like something that you did. They are very, very loud. And they also really have a stake. If they have a natural affinity for your brand, they have a stake in how your brand is being represented, because it kind of also represents them, right? So like a good example is, I love the brand e.l.f. I think they're a great cosmetics company. I'm actually wearing one of their lip glosses now. And, you know, I really look at their social media for how they're talking to me, what their brand persona is, the type of content that they're putting out. Are they trying to engage me, or are they trying to sell me something? Right. And so if I see like a brand that I love is just constantly trying to sell me something, I start to lose interest in that brand. And I'm like, all right, I get they're doing this hard push, but where's the brand? Like, where is the strategy to me as the consumer from the brand to keep me engaged? And e.l.f. does a really good job of constantly keeping the end user in mind, the consumer in mind. And so I think the consumer is helping drive brand strategy today more than ever.
Yeah. As I'm thinking and hearing you talk, I would agree. And I would add and say that I think brand marketing is all about managing and consumer perceptions, right? It's really about the perception game. And the more authentically you can do that, the better you're going to be in that perception game. And the more collaborative around that approach, I think in today's world, the better you're going to be. And social media is a great platform for that collaboration. The other piece is, I think social media today, given all of the other alternative media out there, really is the driver of understanding and being involved in what's going on in culture. There's other ways and moments like Super Bowl advertising or major events that can be accomplished. But for the most part, social media is really driving kind of at least a viewpoint and a media standpoint of culture. And so that intersection of perception and culture sits this giant thing, social media, anything from TikTok to Meta to all this stuff. And so figuring a way out to be in this wild culture party on all these different platforms with all these different voices and all these perceptions to manage is this raging and crazy and scary opportunity for marketers. And the ones that do it well and get it crush. Like Wendy's right now on Twitter is just crushing because they're roasting brands and they're involved and they're confident, but yet they're authentic. And guys like Max Homa, this pro golfer right now on Twitter, is just killing it. And the people that can just authentically own this piece and truly understand their people at a human level, they're like, it's rocket ships. And then other big, you know, large, you know, multinational P&G type conservative companies are pretty freaked out because it's kind of a different being. But I don't know, that's kind of how I feel about it is, and that's kind of what I was hearing you say. It's like culture, perceptions, major opportunity.
And, you know, I think a lot of brands say, for example, like Ryanair, which is the budget airline, and they lean into the fact that they're like a janky budget airline, right? And people love it. And I will tell you, when I go overseas, I'm flying Ryanair. I do, because I'm like, I love their social media. I love that they are not afraid to lean into like who they are, who their customer is telling them they are. And that's another thing too. A lot of times brands will try to dictate to you who they want you to see them as. But at the end of the day, your consumer is going to tell you who you are, right? Because they are the ones that are consuming your content, really interacting with your brand outside of that marketing scope. And for Rainbow, for a while, they were really trying to lean into this new direction. And we had to take a pause. We knew it was not going to work, but we wanted to try something. And I said to them, our girl is sassy. She has an attitude. She's unapologetic. She will tell you when she's mad. She will tell you where to go where the sun don't shine. Like, she is bold, and she's looking for us to match her on that level, right? So how can we flip this to show up as one of her girlfriends, talk to her in the way that she would expect to talk to a friend? And we did it, and we saw our social engagement skyrocket. We have gone viral on X more times than I can tell you within our community. And our Instagram engagement has started to really take off, all because we didn't shy away from being who we are at our core. And I think that is when a brand will truly, truly win, when they use their social listening, when they truly understand their consumer, how their consumer interacts outside of their brand, then they could be in on it, right? And then they can really weave that into their strategy and have a home run.
Did you guys have to use a lot of good writers to help you with that process? Or was it a way where the community and your customers kind of led you in that direction where, and you felt authentically free to just go?
Oh yeah. They just led us in that direction. They wanted to see it from us. And it also, that has to do with hiring the right people. You know, I recently hired a community manager who just represents the brand through and through. And, you know, she and I had a lot of discussions on how do we want to reposition the brand. And I said, I give you permission to be sassy and crass because that is who our consumer is. And she did it. I can have the idea, but it was really her embodying that on social that really got us to the success that we've been seeing for the last like 7 months.
Talk about one of the hardest hires in the business. Community managers, bless their souls. They're such a hard job. And the ones that are good, like, wow, yes.
Nail it. I used to be in that position, so I understand how important that role is. Yeah.
I almost think of like another schema to help us understand this concept in social that you're referring to and why you had so much success is comedians, where a comedian owns their own self at a way that's so refreshing and so authentic that it's funny. And they're marrying like human insights and experiences to their own authentic quirkiness. And that's when they do really well, I feel like a Cat Williams or a Shane Gillis or a Chris Rock.
Two of my favorites. Three of my favorites.
Right?
Yeah.
Like they you know, or a friend of mine's a comedian. His name's Jeff Dye. And once they get mature enough in their career where they just own authentically like who they are, and some of it's not good. Some of it is a little dark, right? And or some of it isn't perfect. And that's, I think, what ultimately other human beings love is the refreshingness of their imperfection. And I think when that's when in marketing, we use these buzzwords where we say be authentic. I think it, at times it comes across a little
inauthentic.
Kind of. It just sounds stupid sometimes. We're like, okay, thank you, marketer, for saying do good things and be about the world and care about sustainability and be authentic. And it's like, come on. But really what we're saying is be vulnerable and be like relatable in a way that isn't pleasing all the time. And that creates some edge and it creates like fans, because we've all been in that kind of world of not being perfect or saying weird stuff or having not like crazy dark thoughts, but you know, dark thoughts or whatever it is. Like, so I think that's kind of what I'm hearing as why you've been so successful, other than the major piece, which is the execution piece.
Absolutely. I mean, my favorite thing, and honestly, I don't know if I made this up or I heard it somewhere, but I've been saying a lot, like an idea is only as good as its execution. Right. And, you know, I think for a lot of brands, and even when we think about our own personal brands, right, how authentic and transparent do we want to be? And what does that look like for us? And how will people perceive that? And the same is obviously for the brand, too. And when you have these legacy brands that have been doing things a certain way for such a long time, it can be really daunting to flip the script on yourself and say, okay, we're going to go in this totally different direction. But at the end of the day, you need to understand that the consumer is getting younger and younger, and how that generation, right, Gen Z, now we have Gen Alpha, how they interact with and how they expect their brands to show up is different than how millennials or Gen X and definitely Gen, you know, boomers expect to interact, boomer specifically on Facebook, Gen X, Facebook, maybe a little bit of Instagram. But millennials, Gen Z, and Gen Alpha, you know, really are YouTube and Instagram and TikTok. And so I think, I always say, don't be afraid to take a risk. Like if it's calculated, if you have the data to back it up, do it. The worst thing that you can do is say, oops, we made a mistake, or hey, this didn't work, and you just start over again. But like, if you're not willing to take that leap and try something new, you are missing out on so many opportunities to get a new consumer or to re-engage an old consumer. And so that's why marketing is fun. Just have fun with it. It's not that serious, people.
No, and I do think it takes good executional people dipping their toe in the water in a copy standpoint and seeing the reaction and seeing how far you can take it. And again, I think comedians are a great example. And it's not done anymore in the boardroom in branding exercises. It's done absolutely, I believe, in today's day and age within great concepting and copywriting and testing and learning, and a lot of times organic social, to see what is really resonating with an audience and community management, what you're talking about. So that's really cool. I think that's a fantastic insight.
And honestly, like the organic piece, I love. Like, I don't believe organic social is dead. I do not believe it. I feel that we are really starting to tap into testing and learning on organic to help drive paid strategy. You know, we'll take a piece of content, we'll see if it does well, then I'll kick it over to the paid media team and say, hey, this performed really well, test it out on paid. And I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, it blows everything else out of the water on paid.
It does. It's just, the really creative and really good people and executions are rewarded and nothing else is. So it's just hard, right? And so look, if you're not going to be the top 10% in terms of content and personality and understanding your audience on every channel you're at, then yeah, organic is a waste. Just do paid. So it's really difficult, to your point, but I do believe ultimately even the algorithms and the platforms that probably are deserving, by the way, I think, of some criticism by marketers are rewarding good content. So
100%.
It's interesting. But, you know, as a brand, you're competing not just with other brands in this hyper competitive creative stakes. You're competing against other content creators. You're competing against other made up brands that are basically lead generation tools as well. So it's tough. That's why I wouldn't put all my eggs into the organic bucket, but certainly I would want to be testing, learning, and competing with really good community managers and social media and content people that understand the game and that want to compete for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I could not agree more.
Yay. All right. Well, where's it headed? We've talked a little bit of the past, and maybe send us off with what you think the next few years looks like, and especially in beauty and fashion brands and in this kind of digital world.
But, I mean, based on whatever's going to happen with TikTok and...
I know. And I had to refrain from talking about the TikTok ban, which we could spend another entire show on. But yeah.
100%, which I don't think is going to happen. There's no way TikTok's going away. I don't think.
No, they're just trying to force the hand, which I've said for years, not that I'm super smart, but, you know, they're trying to force the hand the same way the Chinese government does with other American brands for at least an American company to get their piece and own a part of it. That's all. This is
politics.
Someone, an American brand just is going to have to own it and quote unquote control it. And China's going to get a little smaller cut. I think that's what it's setting up to do, personally.
100%. So, you know, I mean, with that being said, I see TikTok still being a really big player on social. And there's a lot going on in terms of TikTok shops. And the end users are sick and tired of being served ads all the time. I personally still really love what TikTok shop is trying to do. I just think they need to clean it up and continue to refine it more. But I think that TikTok is going to continue to be a really big player. I see a lot of influencers and creators going back to YouTube or starting YouTube channels that have mostly relied on TikTok. And I also see a lot of brands working with creators in-house. So hiring fractional roles, hiring, you know, consulting roles of creators to come in for big brand campaigns to give their, you know, thought leadership on, as creators and influencers really have their pulse on the community, I think more so than brands do sometimes. As you were saying, I believe in our episode yesterday, you know, where like the pop cultures and the trend are on social, and a lot of times creators and influencers are leading that. So I see that happening. I also see brands building out their websites more to be one-stop content destination. So think hosting more, and we already have this, you know, Bloomingdale's does this, Nordstrom does this, a lot of live stream events on their websites. I see a lot of brands starting to shift back into owned content. So still having their socials, but also really using their website as like almost like a backup. So it's like, okay, we're hosting these exclusive events on Nordstrom.com, come to Nordstrom. So that for me personally is where I see it going. And I also, like you were saying about your gym buddy, I think on yesterday's episode too, he's like, I should sell these packages. You know, a lot of influencers and creators are starting to sell courses and how-tos, and they're trying to find ways to monetize off social media. So for me, I think social is just going to continue to get redefined, and it's still going to be this entertainment source. But how people consume social is going to continue to evolve. What people expect from brands, influencers, and creators is going to continue to evolve. And how brands decide to show up on social, I think, is going to be more transparent, more open, more honest, a little less polished. And honestly, we need that.
Wow. What amazing trends. I'd love to have you back on a trends update, because there's so much to digest there. First off, to your point about fractional content creators and influencers and writers. I do think that's the new world for brands and agencies. And your role as a fractional CMO, I think, is going to be one of the most important jobs over the next 5 to 10 years. I think we're going to see a lot more fractional CMOs come in to give outside opinions and change agents of marketing departments and how they operate and create content. And they're going to be bringing along agency partners and other people they have in the industry for a multitude of brands. So I've talked to a lot of people going into the fractional world. I've done a little bit of it myself. I don't have the time, you know, running the agencies to do it like I'd really love to, but I really encourage people. I think that's a great role in the new age of marketing. And I think it's really hard to be a great CMO internally for mid-level non-Fortune 5000 brands right now, because you can't have the change needed to move at the pace the way marketing's going internally, because there's going to be so many people and so many pressures and frankly, a lot of haters that are not going to allow that to happen. And as a consultant coming from the outside, where you have other gigs to fall back on, I think you can make a little more harder recommendations and be a little bit more successful in that role, again, especially for non-Fortune 5000. So not to go off on the fractional CMO piece, because there was so much other gold in what you said. But yeah, I agree with you that the thing that surprised me was this website idea that you talked about. And I'd love to talk to people like at Huge and some of my friends in the kind of web development and what I would call technology space about what they see. But that's a really interesting trend about owning more content and using your website as a platform for content and everything, right? And might as well point your consumers back to something you own rather than give the social media people credit and get 8% seen through rate on your own people. So I think that's a great point. I mean, just so many other things you said I loved and I agree. And it's going to be certainly a fun time, and brands having to continue to be more fun, more authentic, less polished, I think was the word you said that I would agree. And it's time. So what a fun time to be in the industry, especially for us marketers. And that's why I love this show, is this is a safe place for us to really talk about marketing in an unfiltered way. And again, it's probably mostly validation for us as we're in it. But there's a lot of people, you know, that aren't in it that don't understand the craft and the art to have some opinions that can maybe set us off path a little bit and maybe shake our confidence. So this is huge. Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. This is amazing.
Big thanks to Shayna Macklin, brand strategy, fractional CMO kind of work for Rainbow Shops. As always, everything you need and want to know on the podcast is at rebrandpod.com. So if you want notes or contact information, that's just a good resource. You can find me on social media. It's just at Scott Harkey. And again, if you haven't subscribed yet and you're like, all right, there's some good marketing stuff here. I see where they're going. I can pop in and out, get some good marketing insights. And that's it for today. Remember, it's never too late to rebuild, reboot, or rebrand.